Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Bernstein and Rahimi, 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listening to Bernstein and Rahimi as we are rolling through our sports day. And I got a piece of news yesterday that took me back to a simpler time. It was 2011. I was living in Austin, eating a lot of queso. Life was good. But not really, because over that summer, we lovingly refer to it as the summer of realignment.
Okay.
Because that's exactly what happened. When you're covering Texas, that's all you got. That's the major story. And it started with the report out of Lincoln that Nebraska was leaving the Big 12 to go join the Big 10. And at the time, that was considered preposterous, insane. Not so much. That was the initial movement, the first domino that created the chain reaction that we saw occur. Covering Texas at that time was fascinating because we got reports that Texas was so close to joining the Pac-12 at the time. Because remember, that's when the then Pac-10 jumped in, took Colorado. They ended up adding, becoming the Pac-12. That everything was set into motion and put into place. And it was a very tumultuous, 3 years of that going on and kind of settling into the college landscape we have now.
And I remember then, is that concurrent with the formation of the Longhorn Network?
That was the...
Where they said, it doesn't matter the conference if we have our own network as a school. We're not reliant on conference television money, which was the lure of how Jim Delaney romanced Nebraska.
That, yes, the Longhorn Network announcement was back when cable television was at its big boom, when Texas could have its own network, and the money was there, and the cable subscribers were there. You see a pattern happening here when I discuss these things.
We're going to end up back to baseball,
and
too.
And the revenue streams were more consistent because they were all coming from the same place where this was actually feasible for ESPN. A fun fact about Longhorn Network, and that was announced before the Nebraska news, is that it was the 8th ESPN network. So it was indeed the Ocho.
Oh, wow.
The Longhorn Network still exists. But that is considered amongst many as to why everything started to occur. Pac-12, I think, and the Big Ten were both separately looking to expand. But that seemed to be a flashpoint.
So how does that get us to the news of today?
Well, at the time, we were waiting in Austin to see what was going to happen with Texas. And it was already decided, the battle lines were drawn as to who was going where and how. Oklahoma came out and said they're staying with Texas. Kansas came out and said that. Texas A&M was bothered. They went to the SEC. I'm not kidding. That's actually what occurred. And the decision was largely made by the Texas A&M Board of Regents and not so much with Bill Byrne, the then athletic director at the time. Missouri leaves and goes to the SEC. Texas A&M thought they were doing a really great thing. It is what got them better athletes, but overall lost more and has really negatively affected the quality of football in the state since because of how recruiting lines have been drawn.
Have they made more money, though?
That's the question. The SEC needed Texas A&M. They needed the accreditation, the research institution to have that value added to the conference. And Texas was so close as we were awaiting these announcements that there were rumors that they were going to join the Pac-12 that day. That Texas was actually going to join the Pac-12 instead of saying what they ended up saying at the time, which was that they were going to remain in the Big 12 conference. And the thing that stuck with me is that many of you know the Big 8 was the original. And the Southwest Conference, which we largely say dissolved because of what happened with SMU getting the death penalty, was a Band-Aid. The Big 12 was a Band-Aid and a solution that didn't give their teams a lot of good TV rights at the time. We had to find out that week sometimes what time teams were kicking off. You didn't know until like that Monday. So that's what made things pretty frustrating. And they largely thought that they didn't have a good TV deal. But the explanation was out of Texas at the time that they still got the same size pie. The slices were just smaller or larger. But then we know they brought in TCU and that changed the balance a little bit as well.
And the size of the pie, right.
Correct. So now we get the report coming out from the Houston Chronicle that Texas and Oklahoma want to join, when their TV contracts are up in 2025, the SEC. And here we go again.
And the SEC wants this.
We're not to the point where the SEC is saying anything. It's still in speculation right now. But as you can imagine, that led me down the path of, what year is this? Because here we go again.
But it's not governed by television revenue, which is fascinating. And it's especially during a time, the way when we dovetail this with the larger forces of the kneecapping of the NCAA by federal regulation or deregulation. And the idea that that conferences themselves aren't going to be less important, they're going to be more important.
But it's the way that they're constructed that's changing. And we knew this was going to happen. We knew that the money was going to clarify everything, and it's happening again. And like I said before, in the same way the original Big 12 was a Band-Aid, I think that the current construction of it might be as well, because I don't know what happens if you lose Texas and Oklahoma. So here's some of the latest reports we have, because everybody's kind of talking around it. Brian Davis out of the Austin American Statesman saying that, yes, the Houston Chronicle is reporting that Texas and OU have started talks about joining the SEC. High-level schools. Officials have been evasive when asked by the Statesman. One said, is this Groundhog Day all over again? Frankly, it is. And whether or not we like it, this decision, if indeed moves forward, and they have to have a majority vote, that's the report that we've gotten, is that the SEC schools will have to have a majority vote to approve it. A&M will not. Like, you can take them off the board.
But if the Big 12 crumbles, if this is if you're looking at this as the start of the end of a major power conference, those talks have to already be going now. The preliminary back channel talks have to begin of who's eating up whom and who is. It's an expansion draft, a dispersal draft. That's what this is. It is a dispersal draft.
Well, and let's face it, similar to the idea of the Bears contract with the city being what it is, there's always a price. These things are negotiable. And when the moneymakers talk, and that's what's really going on here, things are going to change, especially if they've got numbers. So it's Texas and Oklahoma. And apparently Ross Bjork, the Texas A&M athletics director, is already on the record as saying, we want to be the only SEC program in the state of Texas. Well, nobody's questioning that. That's pretty normal for Texas A&M to feel that way. But nobody's denying it either. Texas didn't come out and deny it, neither did Oklahoma. The way that this probably stays intact in some way, shape, or form is at the University of Houston, which has 40,000 undergrad people.
Jeez. Commuters?
Stays primarily.
Mostly commuters, right?
But if the University of Houston joins the Big 12, which I think they should have anyway, they've got the size, they got the numbers, they have the football program. They just don't have the 100,000-seat stadium like Texas
And they're
does.
Currently, what, is that like that Zombie Conference USA? Or are they in the one with like Tulane?
American Athletic Conference.
Is that Tulane?
I'd have to check on Tulane, but they're in the AAC.
Okay. I think it's the same conference.
So there's just reports coming out. And the reason I bring this up isn't just because I covered it firsthand, and it was bizarre to cover. And I learned a lot about like business and just what you need to do making decisions at the time. But these things seem to have a chain reaction. So it's just a matter of how.
And as you talk about this, we look at the AP report about what Mark Emmert has just said, which is maybe the first realization of his brave new world, where he said that this recent Supreme Court ruling and the lifting of restrictions on name, image, and likeness should be a catalyst to rethink what college sports is about. He laid out a vision of the future of college sports that puts fewer limitations on athletes, de-emphasizes the role of a national governing body like the NCAA, and he said that they should consider a less homogenous approach to the way sports are governed. And not only look at the conference structure, but completely re-examine the three-division structure. He said, we need to be ready to say, yeah, you know, for field hockey, it's different than football. Wrestling is different from lacrosse, to not get hung up on having everything be the same. And that is going to mean conferences, without question. The conferences are going to be the most powerful level. And for the first time, Mark Emmert might actually be right about something, because maybe he's forced to be. He just has to be, because he has no choice anymore. He can't continue lying about his power, his role, or the role of the NCAA, because he's just been whacked on the head by a Supreme Court ruling that's changed everything overnight by a snap of the fingers. That these conference decisions are enormous because of the sway that conferences are going to hold without the auspices of the NCAA above them.
That's it. When money's on the table, things get clear real quick. And did you, by the way, see the report, Nick Saban talking about how his quarterback, Bryce Young,
$1 million already.
At a seven-figure NIL deal.
Multiple. That's his total portfolio, I guess. I don't think it's one deal. I think he's saying he has deals totaling close to $1 million. And you know what? Awesome.
Fine.
Fantastic. And call him Nick. You don't have to call him Coach.
Because how many... Oh, Dion... What are you doing? Well, the story that's more disturbing is Jackson State blocking a Clarion Ledger reporter from covering Media Day because a report came out about one of his players and domestic assault.
Yeah, that's a little bigger than not calling a guy Coach.
And I know we wanted to get to that yesterday, but didn't we all enjoy Jason Goff? I think we did.
Yes.
That was great.
Yes.
That's when I found myself just listening to the show again, was like, oh, I host this. I should talk right now. Nope, too busy listening to Goff talk about basketball. But there are some interesting pieces in place here as we get ready for the college football season. I know it's not immediate, but it's worth paying attention to, because when one decision is made or one report comes out, let's all see together how this ends up unfolding. Because I totally didn't think that the Nebraska report was going to set off the chain reaction where we're now talking about college sports completely differently. But here we are. And 10 years later, I wouldn't be surprised if it changed again.
And it should. I think all of these changes, if properly managed, the fact that the playing field, metaphorically, is being leveled as far as who gets some of this money, I think it's fantastic. To hear that news here, to see how swiftly this has happened, and if players get a seat at the table, I don't mind change. I don't fear change, and I always think change is an opportunity to make things better and more fair and break away from some ancient, creaking, outdated models. But let's involve the players. Let's let them have some say in how this is all going down and what conference they how do they get to wet their beak? How does it make them more likely to get more money out of their name, image, and likeness deals? What's in it for them?
I just always think about the athletes who lose their career in college. I think about the football players who would absolutely have had NFL careers, who their careers were either stunted, ruined, or not there because of some injury they suffered in college. And to me, if they can actually earn something for what they're doing, and I know a college scholarship ain't cheap, goodness knows we know. But beside that, then I think it's worth it.
I like it. I like watching chaos in this regard. I like watching them scramble. I like watching people who took their positions of power for granted have to wake up to the fact they're not as powerful as they thought they were. But the
Tommy
fact
Tuberville.
Is, yeah, don't get me started. There are other people who are going to end up being more powerful in that regard. And it's all happening so fast. It's going to happen a lot faster than maybe it did in Austin at the time. And by the way, why did you have to stop eating queso? If you said you were happier when you were in Austin eating more queso, why can't you just eat more queso now?
The older you get, the more your metabolism slows down. I went to a bunch of different places where it wasn't as good. Now I enjoy different things.
We're back to the Peppa Pig thing continues to resonate.
There have been a bunch of confessions on our text line about this. I've been laughing.
I just got a text from the Sultan of Guilt who says, my kids, rather than telling me to F off, now tell me to bugger off.
That's so sophisticated. Children are running around because that was the only show that grabbed their attention during the pandemic. Got it. You know what I've also realized in all of this? Iowa is the only state where it works, man. I was the only state where you can have the two major institutions be in two different conferences and people are cool with it. I don't know why, but everybody's fine. And they voluntarily play each other. Unlike Texas, where they're just ridiculous and emotional about it and are dragging everybody through a breakup. So congratulations, Iowa, for doing things correctly.
I can't concentrate.
They don't get enough credit for that every now and then. Queso. This is one of those times.
But queso's good.
I'm glad your two football teams play each other every year. The Cy-Hawk Trophy is awkwardly named, but I'm here for the camaraderie.
So if I get a thing of Velveeta and a can of Rotel, like this, it's the seasoned Rotel tomatoes. Is that considered?
Yeah, all it is just like, okay, first of all, Velveeta has gotten weirdly expensive. But it's still worth it. So just, you know, brick of Velveeta.
It's a brick of Velveeta and a can of Rotel with the
diced
seasonings
green
in it.
Chilies and tomatoes. Yeah,
that's it, right?
Well, that's the basic.
Well, what? Help me out here. What else?
So, on the internet, you can find other queso recipes, and they will help you add on to it. My favorite is one Bob Armstrong dip. That requires a recipe that is too long to speak about here, especially when we have Kevin Fishbane and the bear survey talk coming up.
Let's find out more about the Bears next on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
So I was talking to Kevin Fishbane.
Kevin Fishbane, Bears beat writer for The Athletic.
Can you walk us through maybe when Justin first got on your radar?
Last year, just on a phone conversation, just talking with Coach Day at Ohio State, we were going through a bunch of different players, just talking about different guys that he has. And towards the end of it, we discussed Justin, and he brought up, you know, he mentioned that, man, this kid is an absolutely, you know, he's a generational talent. And it just stuck with me, generational player. And when you hear that, those are strong words, but you understand the respect I have for him and what that means. And
Kevin Fishbane on 670 The Score.
He learned some things about Bears fans, and a lot of this stuff tracked with what my gut feeling was on some of this. Kevin Fishbane, Bears reporter for The Athletic, at KFishbane on Twitter, is with us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And are you joining us on Twitch as well?
Yep.
I would hope so.
What's happening here?
I'm not on the Twitch, which, you know, look, I'm still technically finishing up my paternity leave. I don't think anybody needs to see what, you know, just a few hours of sleep, me looks like. I think I'm doing the Twitch viewers a service today, and I will be back and ready to go once camp's underway.
Fair enough. Now, my working belief is that with fans in training camp, the Bears, if they haven't yet, will very quickly understand just how much of this is all about Justin Fields. I don't think they quite get it, and I don't really think it's going to be understood until they see actual live fan reaction.
Yeah, I think you're right, Dan. I mean, look, 4 years ago, we went through this with a quarterback not nearly as heralded as Justin Fields, and everything was about Mitch at that training camp in 2017. I mean, like, I remember a veteran player once before an interview, like, he said to me, goes, did you see that deep ball from the rookie? And then he kind of, like, caught himself. He goes, I mean, you're not recording yet, right? Like, you know, like, guys notice. And that was Trubisky versus Glenn, and now you have Fields Dalton. Like, you're going to have a similar buzz, and everyone's just going to be, you know, the second that second team comes on the field, everyone's going to be so focused on every throw. And you're going to have the fans there. It's the first time fans are back in 2 years, the first time the full camp's at House Hall this way. Yeah, and like, and look, we're all going to see the differences, obviously, between the two quarterbacks, but it's going to be hard for the Bears they're going to want to not make everything about Justin Fields, but that's just right. What's going to happen.
That is what's going to happen. I also enjoyed a couple of repeat questions from your Bears survey and your story on The Athletic, especially the fact that when it came to the what letter grade you would assign to Chairman George McCaskey, what letter grade you would assign to head coach Matt Nagy, and the same question for Ryan Pace, the majority of all those answers got a C.
They did, Layla. And what interested me was that George McCaskey got a fair amount of votes for a D. Like, he had the worst average report card of the crew. Like, his GPA is probably the lowest of the three. And I do think that there was maybe this little Justin Fields bump that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy got. Like, if they did not draft Justin Fields, and they, well, for one thing, if they drafted Mac Jones, or maybe if they didn't take quarterback till day three or something like that, like, I bet you that Nagy and Pace's report cards would look a lot similar to George's on that one. And so, which makes me wonder, maybe George McCaskey should have meddled in football operations and had his hands all over the Justin Fields pick. It would have been better for his GPA.
I'm amazed by just how many fans are attaching to certain players. You know, the love for Daz Newsome is strong. And then to see the vote of confidence for Sean Desai, who most people answering the survey probably still today couldn't pick him out of a lineup. And 61.4% already say he will be an improvement over Chuck Pagano. Did you raise some eyebrows over some of this stuff as well?
A little bit, Dan. I wonder how much of that was like a repudiation of Chuck, of the Chuck Pagano era, and just this kind of hope that you look at what Brandon Staley accomplished and you think about the Vic Fangio stuff. There's just, you know, like, this is, we all know how this works. This time of year, fans are, get this hope, they get this excitement, they haven't lost a game yet, so that you kind of convince yourself that, you know, that's why I threw in one of the options, like, maybe he'll just be Vic Fangio again and the 2018 defense will be back. And, you know, fortunately not many fans went that far, but I do wonder if, you know, just the frustration of this defense not hitting its expectations, there could also be like a, could it really get worse? And it certainly could. You know, we just don't know. But I think that I wonder if there's you look at some of the top players that whose production did not match their contracts or what they did in 2018. I'm mm-hmm. talking about Eddie Jackson. I'm talking about Khalil Mack. And you think, well, okay, can Sean Desai really make things worse for those two guys? Or is he going to have a better understanding about what those two can bring, seeing what they did in Vic Fangio's defense, that maybe we can get some of that back? I mean, Eddie Jackson, to me, is one of the most fascinating players heading to camp because Sean Desai knows him so well. He was the safeties coach the past couple of years. He was a quality control coach when Eddie got here in 2017. I'm very curious to see what they're able to do, because there's only so much you can do sometimes with a player of his position, and you know, a quarterback doesn't have to throw the ball anywhere near him, and you just won't see the production. But that player, and that's really interesting to me about how, like, are we going to see Eddie Jackson return, or maybe he just those couple first two seasons, like that was it. That was Eddie Jackson.
You also bring up in that little blurb about the defensive coordinator, you bring up the question of what can be expected out of Eddie Goldman. So let's move forward with that discussion as well now.
Well, Layla, I don't know, do the kids call it the gram or the IG these days? Because if you're on Instagram, you see that Eddie Goldman's working out. And like, you know, and look, it's like a running joke, the idea of like, well, if you're not posting your workout videos to Instagram, are you really ready for training camp? So like, I understand you can't put too much into it, but like Eddie Goldman is like the fact that he's out like doing all this work with his lineman teammates and comfortable with it being posted to social media for everybody to see, you know, and I guess just looking at him, like, I would say, yeah, he looks fine. He looks like he's ready to go. Of course, we won't know until he's out there and the pads are on and let's see what his conditioning's like. But just the fact that he's doing the work, you know, makes you think like, okay, this guy is at least doing what he needs to do. And again, I understand this is all I'm basing this on of is a few videos posted on Instagram, but it's all we have to work with. I look at that and say, okay, this is somebody that is getting himself ready, that's getting himself into shape so that he can be ready to go. I mean, again, we don't know what that's going to look like when the games start, or heck, when the padded practices start. But I would imagine that like the team is happy to see that he's doing that and trying to get himself physically ready to go.
Well, frankly, those videos are more than we've gotten out of some of the training camps.
Yes, that's exactly what we have to go off right now. Like I remember, you know, especially last year when you didn't have OTAs or minicamp. I mean, that's just how you're keeping track of guys. And sometimes it's interesting, right? Sometimes you see guys doing different things. Like they'll admit, like, hey, I'm doing this. I'm working with this new trainer. I'm doing this new workout. I'm trying something different. And like, you know, again, it doesn't mean it's going to translate into anything yet.
No, David Montgomery, he says he's gotten faster because he has that magic speed coach, right?
He does, and Dan, he looked faster last year.
Boom!
So we'll see if he looks faster this year with the new speed coach.
That is an amazing story, though. If he is indeed faster, and the way he talked about when he said he basically didn't know how to run, that says a lot.
Yeah, and Layla, the run game, and we'll get into this more in the next couple months. Like, I just am really interested to see what is this run game going to look like? Because, you know, we all know what Matt Nagy thinks of running the football. At least we think we know what Matt Nagy thinks of running the football. And then you look at the win streak and you look at what Montgomery did, and like they finally treated him the way Iowa State did. And they gave him the ball a lot. They let him be a receiver, which is one of the reasons they traded up for him. They just didn't do that in 2019. Like, are they going to, you know, what part of that success that we saw in December with the run game is, you know, what part of that did they say, hey, you know what, we had something here that kind of worked. We got a different offensive line, but we got a guy in Montgomery that we can trust. You know, how can we can blend that into this offense we're trying to build to be successful in 2021?
Sid Luckman has been dead since 1998.
Here we go.
But apparently, despite that fact, you think would be a headwind, has successfully campaigned, or someone has on his behalf, to improve his historical standing among Bears fans as he increases the percentage responders who feel he is the better quarterback than Jay Cutler to represent the Bears as the all-time best at the position. What was happening posthumously that was making this work for him?
Well, look, I don't think it's sucking up for me to say that John Greenberg's feature on Sid Luckman from our quarterback series in February had to do something.
Ooh,
for Sid.
Grabbed more of the vote share away from Jay Cutler.
Yeah, and you know, I'm going to obviously have to do this question every year, and I think the second Justin Fields plays, maybe his vote share will continue. I think he came in fourth as one of the write-in votes. He hasn't played yet. And Jim McMahon also lost some of his vote share.
In no world is he the best Bears quarterback of all time. That's but, just wrong.
Yeah, I'm just laughing that we're talking about this on
I always
July
find it,
22nd.
I always find it fascinating with the Major League Baseball All-Star votes, like guys, like the way, and I understand the process. Like, I get it. I get why, like, the voter share, like, changes with these guys, even though they haven't played in 10, 15, 20 years. But it's still comical to me that, like, all right, like, what's changed your mind? And here we go with this. This is different than the Hall of Fame because it's the same candidates as last year. And obviously we have a different voting base, but obviously, you know, you got to credit Sid Luckman's campaign team.
So 38.9% for Jay Cutler, 37.7 for Sid Luckman, 18.9% for Jim McMahon. And then there is enough of a vote for Justin Fields that it wasn't just a write-in vote, because he got his own color code on this. So that means that is a non-insignificant percentage that already feels that Justin Fields is the best Bears quarterback of all time.
Yeah, it could take one preseason game before he cements that status in this town. Though you'll see the statue at Soldier Field if he. But you know, I forgot to put this in the survey. But last year, one of my questions was, who will be the 2021 Week One starting quarterback? And you know, there was a mix of Foles and Trubisky, and then there was a lot of write-in votes. Justin Fields at this time last year actually did pretty well in that write-in category, and I imagine that at that time, when Bears fans were doing that, they were thinking, well, the Bears are going to be so bad, they'll get the number two pick in the draft and get Justin Fields.
Wow, that's interesting, because he got 14 total votes, which is absolutely amazing. Out of 1,955, he got 14 total. And let me ask you, before we let you go, what have you done any sort of retroactive research as to what's predictive, if anything, about your survey? Is there anything the fans are more right about heading into a season than other things?
Ooh, that's a good question, Dan. Since I've only done it twice now, and I already had some statisticians complaining about my process in the comments, I think I might need to take a step back and re-look at the way I do it for next year, because you don't want to anger the statistician community, certainly.
No.
But you know, I think that the breakout player stuff, which I didn't do this year because they're just, I figured, like, I kind of did with the Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet, Jalen Johnson. I think those are, you're always looking at the second year guys. And I'm pretty sure last year Roquan Smith won that going away, and he was a third year guy. It was a little different with his situation. So I do think that the fans kind of get a good sense of the guys who are trending up. And I'll be curious to see, you know, one of the polls was about the rookies not named Justin Fields, Tevin Jenkins. Which of those guys ends up being somebody that, you know, at this time next year we're talking about, hey, watch him in year two? Could it be Daz Newsome? You know, could it be Thomas Graham Jr.? So those answers kind of intrigue me, because I do think fans get a sense of, all right, who are these guys? And also there's, you know, the Marquise Goodwin thing, you get that recency bias of everyone said he looked really good at OTAs and minicamp, and I've heard he did. Like, it wasn't, you know, but it's OTAs minicamp, so you can't really tell. So people are starting to pick up on some of these guys that might be kind of on the, you know, that are ascending a little bit.
Nope, I'm running with it. Justin Fields is the greatest Bears quarterback of all time. It's tremendous and great and everything, and everybody gets a C. It's perfect. It's all perfect.
I mean, listen, giving a letter grade of a C and having a guy who's never played before be fourth place,
yes,
in best quarterback, that is the Bears, right? I mean, that, like, that is what this franchise is, or has been, at least in the last 30 years.
Kevin Fishbane, thanks much. I know we'll be talking more frequently starting very, very soon.
All right, we will. Take care.
That is Kevin.
Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic. Next up, Stan Bowman, the general manager of the Blackhawks, is talking to the media. And actually, he's not doing as much hiding as I thought he would. He's actually putting some words together about some serious stuff. So we'll hear from him next on The Score.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
We take this very seriously. I take this very seriously. But we have to let the process play itself out. And, you know, that's where things are today. And, you know, we're going to let this play itself out. And you know, we'll probably be able to comment more on that at a different time. But that's where we are today.
When he says play itself out, it would be the Blackhawks' attempts to have lawsuits thrown out for various technical reasons and maybe valid legal reasons, unfortunately. And also their Jenner and Block internal investigation, where they are the client of the firm. They're paying the client to investigate them. And the question isn't, do you take it seriously now? The question remains that we want to know is, what didn't you take seriously enough then, and who could have, and who chose not to?
That's it. And who knew? We still don't know who knew. And that's where we sit with this. But
let me ask you guys this.
Yes.
If Stan Bowman, or whoever, when all this is over, comes out and says, look, I couldn't talk about it during the investigation. We were told it was a bad decision on our part. It was an oversight. And we're sorry. And nothing like this can ever happen again. We were distracted by the Stanley Cup playoffs. Our heads were not in the right space. We made a crucial mistake. We've settled with the victims.
There you go.
And we hope, yes.
I was going to say, he can't say that unless they've figured out how they're going to handle civil complaints.
Because if you apologize, then that's an admission of guilt in right. That case.
So if they settle the case and say, look, we made a huge mistake. We were caught up in the Stanley Cup championship chase. We didn't want to have any distractions, and we just brushed it under the rug, thought it would go away. It was a big mistake. We've settled. We're sorry, and we promise nothing like this will ever happen again. Will people move on from that? Can people move on from that? Is that acceptable?
Well, that's the question.
Hold on. You got to wait for other victims to then emerge.
Right.
And immediately when they say that and take public responsibility, all of the other Aldrich victims, and there are always more victims.
Oh, of course. Yep. You're volunteering at a high school?
There yes. are all. That is the rule of this. There are always more. And then they will have to set aside a significant portion of Blackhawks revenue, value, treasure to begin paying off all of the others that then come say, you are at fault, or at least in part, for allowing this person to prey on me.
Would they have to do that, though? Are they legally bound to that if it didn't happen under their watch?
Well, it depends on these cases, right?
It depends on insurance, too, and I know that sounds crazy, but sometimes insurance covers court settlement cases, depending.
It depends on how these are adjudicated, of what it is proven that they did negligently. It may be nothing. It may just be that the absence of a negative job recommendation or a neutral job recommendation does not constitute legal liability.
I also want to take note of Rick Westhead, who we had on the show, thanks to some outstanding guest booking by Jay, talking about this and how he's reported on it. And he was observing that press conference and said, it's interesting to hear questions ping pong between Hockey Talk inquiries on sexual abuse allegations, isn't it? Also said, asked if he's concerned about public perception of himself in the organization, another non-comment, Bowman, and then saying that process play itself out comment, that's where things are today. So that's Westhead's impression of what we heard. And I go back to what we asked him last week, if this story was getting enough attention, knowing what he knew. And he said, in his opinion, no.
Well, it does sound like it's at least getting attention from reporters today asking these questions, even if they're being parried and deflected in so many words. But the questions are going to continue until we get news, maybe after the lawsuits have been tossed, because it still matters as the internal investigation grinds on, regardless of whether or not they are found to be legally liable or negligent for any damages. You still don't want people who willingly looked the other way, who willingly facilitated some of this stuff, to be a part of your hockey team.
I just think, what is the survival here for the Blackhawks? What is the win? The actual win. Is it avoiding as much legal damage as possible? Is it acknowledging that pain happened allegedly, according to these people? What's the end goal here?
It can't
what's
be undone.
The one goal?
It can't be whitewashed. It can't be undone. It can't be rewritten.
They also have the benefit of most fans don't like Stan Bowman. Most fans don't know who Al McIsaac is. If he walked in the room, they wouldn't be able to recognize him. And John McDonough's gone. So if they wanted to just fire people, they could certainly do that.
Well, human nature says that when you hear stuff like this happen and you hear the allegations, there's you want to make that as better as you possibly can. That's the human element of this.
Isn't cleaning house, though, in theory, making it as good as you can?
But that's my point.
But that's closing the barn door after the horse has already escaped. They had their chance to do the right thing 10 years ago, and they didn't do it.
Okay, now what?
There's different leadership now, though, yeah. Too.
So now, like, that's my point is how do you make it better? Because the human angle of this is in stark contrast to the legal angle for them.
Well, what they'll do is they would either settle and try to make people right again through the way the system that we have in place, and that's money. They'll probably then make big showy donations to various charities and survivor networks and prevention groups. We know the playbook on this. We know the way that the crisis PR cleanup crews come in and do some of this.
They're doing it right now with the logo, with the land acknowledgement and the pregame videos and all that stuff.
Instead of just getting rid of the logo, which would cure every issue, and it would be a nothing, and people would be over it in an instant. A couple people would carp about it, and then they would go away, and they'd shut up. Just like every other team is learning, just like Daniel Snyder's learning, and just like Cleveland baseball is learning, and we know how it works, but they're still clinging to it for reasons.
I know, but the main issue I have with this is the truest basic one, that sports is supposed to be something that makes you happy. It's supposed to be your distraction, and the reason you're sad is because of something ultimately good. And when evil is being discussed and thrown around like this, just what's your end game?
At the time, it was to protect the brand. That was the decision that they made, and there's no changing that decision ever, no matter what happens now. That was what was done, and we know that happened. Now it's just a matter of sort of cleaning up all of the damage to others and to them.
But we won't be okay with silence.
No, I know some people aren't. So for some people, this is unforgivable. And I can't answer for every Blackhawks fan for having done this and having been a part of this. I can't answer for Ohio State or Penn State or Michigan State or Michigan.
Baylor.
And what that's done to people. Any number. Or for the Boy Scouts or for the church. I can't answer. But we see it in the numbers. We see that fewer people are in the church. We see fewer people are part of the Boy Scouts. There are reactions to it. Sometimes they take years. I don't know if one case like this, the case of the Blackhawks, changes the way people feel about it, changes the trust that they have in their organization. Relationship with a professional sports team is different.
But that's my issue. Just more people hurt in the process. Like, take everything logistical out of it. Just more people hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not okay.
And that's not going to get undone. That's the sad part. One of the sad parts. Lawrence Holmes will do Transition with us next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.